Okay, last night we talked about a good Bible hero, Daniel. So I'm going to give the four P's again. So I want you to take these with you. So let me say them, and then you say them with me. Daniel was a man of purpose, a man of principle, a man of purity, a man of prayer. Let me do it one more time, then you do it with me, okay? I hope this will be embedded in your mind. Daniel was a man of principle, I mean purpose. He knew what he wanted to do. A man of principle, he had convicted to carry those purposes out. A man of purity, or he would not have had the courage to carry it out. A man of prayer, he had to have God's power to help him carry it out. Let's say those four things. Daniel was a man of principle, purity, and prayer. Amen. He was a hero. Now, I've got some other Bible heroes tonight. I want to talk to you about fully following the Lord. I talk about Joshua and Caleb. And then I've kind of got a subtitle called Give Me This Mountain, which is this great song I love that we're going to sing later. I'm looking forward to us singing that together. And I got something tonight for the young people and for the old people. You know, there's no place to retire in God's service. You young people need to give God your life now, your whole life, but you never do retire. And some of the best work that people do is in their old age. When they think they're washed up and the world thinks they're washed up and their bodies may be washed up, their spirit's not washed up. So you can do some of the very strongest things you're ever going to do right before you leave this world. I hope I finish strong. I hope we all finish strong. And the story is, who knows the story? Raise your hand of Joshua and Caleb. Who knows that story? Most of you know it. It's a great story. Let's tell about that a minute. You know why it's called the Promised Land? Because God promised it to them. He promised the land of Canaan to the children of Israel, many places in the Old Testament. And when they got out of Egypt and they saw all kind of miracles getting out of Egypt, including coming across the Red Sea, and they came up to the Promised Land, and they're fixing to go into the Promised Land. And then, before they went in, they decided to send in 12 spies to spy the land out and see, get the lay of the land, see what kind of people were there, what kind of produce was there, just how it really was. And so these 12 spies came back with this report. And it's so often the case, the majority was wrong. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Most of the time, the majority is wrong. Most of the time, a very small minority is right, most of the time. So anyway, you know the story. They came back, and they admitted it's a wonderful place. I'll read a little bit from the book of the 13th chapter of Numbers if you have your Bibles. I won't read a lot, but I'll read a little bit. They said, we came into the land where thou sentest to us. They're making this report back to Moses. And surely it floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. And they even had a bunch of grapes they're so big it took two men to carry one bunch of grapes. I remember Michael Rushing's daddy was a preacher friend of mine who was ordained the same day I was. He's going to be a Lord now, and he said that he was kind of exaggerating sometimes, but this may not have been exaggeration. He said that those grapes are so big you can make a grape pile of one grape. I don't know whether that big or not, they probably were. Anyway, there's a great place. It's a beautiful place, all kind of good stuff there. That was the positive part. But then they said this, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Those were the giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. They saw all the enemy. They didn't think they could do it. And my friend, when we take our eye off God's promises, we'll fall into the same trap. It's the same principle as when Peter walked on the water. As long as he kept his eye on the Lord Jesus Christ, he could do it, right? He looked at the circumstances, and he began to fail. Circumstances are bad. They're bad right now. If I look at the circumstances, I'm going to melt. But I'm not going to look at the circumstances by an eye of faith. I can look at God. And so that's what, we can't do it. We know God promised it to us. And we actually seen God bless us with some miracles. You know, sometimes even when we have blessings, we forget those blessings, don't we? We forget pretty quickly. God had delivered us many times, but then we have another crisis. Oh, he probably won't deliver me this time. So the devil always tries to hit us in the faith area. But Caleb is a different kind of individual. I was going to name my first son Caleb, but my sister beat me to it. So I finally had to wait to get to Timothy, and his name is Timothy Caleb. And he got a boy named Caleb. And there are several of you guys named Caleb here. You got a good name, boys, and live up to it. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. We're well able to overcome it. He said that because he trusted in God. And then the people, of course, they saw the giants. They said, well, we can't do that. Well, when they did that, it had an effect on all the people. So these people were, can you imagine how enthused they were? We have been slaves in Egypt for a long time. We've been delivered by God's grace. We come across the Red Sea. We come up to the promised land. We can't wait to get into it. We can't wait for these guys to get back with a report. And they bring back this report. At first it sounds good. Then they say, but we can't go. You know what effect it had on the people? 14th chapter of Numbers. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. The people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. They began to murmur against their leaders. And that just overnight their attitude was changed. And they even said, let's go back to Egypt. And why did you even bring us out of Egypt to start with? Just terrible. And God was so very displeased with that. So God said this then, in the last part of the 14th chapter. I'm kind of just giving the truncated verse of the version of this. God was very displeased with what they did. Because God, friends, is very displeased with unbelief. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, here's what our God said. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt, see, they've seen all that, the 10 plagues, and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, get this, because he had another spirit within him, hath followed me fully. I'm going to ask you, what kind of spirit do you have? What kind of spirit do you have? Do you have the kind of spirit that wants to follow God fully, or do you have a half heart for God? Maybe I'm convicting some of you. Sometimes I convict my own self. What I want to do is follow God with all my might. Isn't that what Jesus Christ said? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, all thy mind, all thy soul, all thy might, all thy strength. So he said, Caleb had a different spirit than these guys have got. He wholly followed me. And so then again, going to the 32nd chapter of Numbers, and God speaking again, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Now, I've got some lessons I want to draw from this, okay? Let's look at a few lessons. Number one, don't be a discourager. Don't cause your brother to stumble. Well, let's encourage each other. You know, we can look how fast those 10 people discouraged the whole nation. It was theirs to take. God had promised it to them. They discouraged. Don't be a discourager. Don't be cause your brother to stumble. When you get together like you are now, you know, the Bible said in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Like, let's say I'm with Thomas here, Poe, and I'm kind of down, and things looking bad, and Thomas could come with encouraging words. Say, Brother Zach, remember, God's omnipotent. Remember, God's in charge. I perk up and say, yeah, he is in charge, isn't he? See what I'm talking about? Or I could drag him down. If I say, Caleb, you know, we got a terrible government, and our morals are getting bad, and we're going to get persecuted here next week probably and all that, and get him down, he wouldn't even want to go to church anymore probably. He said, well, it's all, and that's kind of what the devil would like to do to all y'all in your generation. That, well, so what's the use? See? But don't be a discourager of your brethren. Be an encourager. Be an encourager. Number two, believe God's promises. Put on your faith glasses. Have any of you ever been to a 3D movie where you put those little glasses on and hold your hand up? That's kind of cool, isn't it? The last movie I thought I didn't even like it. I didn't understand it because I don't understand this. You kids don't understand J.R.R. Tolkien. I don't understand it all. It's a bunch of really crazy-looking people killing each other. And then some other crazy people killing them. So I don't know what it's all about. But I had on my 3D glasses. Well, don't put on 3D glasses. Put on your faith glasses. Put on your faith glasses. You can see things right. You put your faith glasses on. I got two faith glass verses for you. One of them is over in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith and not by sight. How do you walk by faith? It's simple. You just believe the Bible. You just believe the Bible. That's walking by faith. It's just that simple. Really believe in the Bible. And then the one I gave you from Hebrews 11:6. And there's a song in our songbook that summarizes that. I'll tell you what it is in a minute. Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, and that's a whole chapter full of faith, isn't it? Full of faith heroes. If you want to build your faith up, read Hebrews 11. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Then he gives a definition of faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So put your faith glasses on. So number one, don't be a discourager. Number two, believe God's promises. Every promise that God had made, my friend, to Moses had come true. They've seen a lot of miracles. They forgot about those. We got to remember past blessings. I would encourage you to start keeping a spiritual diary and remember past blessings. If you remember past blessings, it gives you courage for the future. I'm going to give you a few personal examples. But first, let me read what David did. See, David fought Goliath, didn't he? But the reason David fought Goliath was he remembered some past times when God had blessed him, right? Do you think in your life, had God ever blessed me? You start keeping a diary, at least a mental diary, if not a written diary, of God's blessings. Here's what David said when Saul, when he was going to fight Goliath, and Saul wanted to put this armor on him. This is 1 Samuel chapter 17. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and he took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. When he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, the Lord be with thee. So he remembered past blessings. Let me tell you a few things about that. There's a verse of scripture over in Psalm 119, verse 50, that reads this way. This is my comfort and my affliction. Thy word hath quickened me. That word quickened means revive. This is my comfort and my affliction. Thy word hath quickened me. I'm going to give you a couple examples. If you will listen to this, when you go to church, you'll be more excited. God is oftentimes speaking to you in church when you don't realize it. Sometimes we just don't understand. We don't think he's going to speak to us. It's just routine, so we don't pay much attention. But let me give you a couple of examples in my life. I'll give you two examples. I could talk about this all night long. But I want to give some examples. One had to do with old David Powles and old Jeff Harris. And I'm going to tell you, this is amazing what happened. This is a true story. You remember 9-1-1, where were y'all at 9-1-1? Probably everybody remembers it. I remember very well where I was about 9-1-1. Jeff Harris and I were fixed to go on a trip to India. And so Judy and I were on an airplane going to Atlanta to plan the trip with Jeff and Donna. And so we got off the plane, and Jeff picked us up at the Atlanta airport in his pickup truck. And all of a sudden, his daughter called him on a cell phone and said, Daddy, turn the radio on. Turn the radio on. Well, we heard the horror of what happened to World Trade Towers. It's horrible. And David, you'll know when you play on this a little bit. So we go down to Jeff's house and we get the TV on. It's horrible. You remember all that. And then we didn't know what to do because we couldn't fly home. We had tickets, but the airlines were grounded. Remember that? They were grounded. And I had to get to David McAvell's ordination. So how we had to do it. Jeff took me somewhere, and I met Jeremy Fulmer. He took me somewhere else, and I didn't met me, and then we finally got over to here to Tyler, and David got ordained. But we couldn't even fly. But then we had a dilemma. Should we go to India or not? Number one, can we go to India? Well, the State Department didn't say you could not go. But I didn't know what to do. I began to ask advice. Some people said, don't go, don't be a fool. Wait, you can always go later. Some people said, go ahead, don't be afraid, just trust the Lord. So I didn't know what to do. I was in a dilemma. I wanted to do right. I didn't want to be a coward. I didn't want to be foolish either. So I'm at Huntsville, Alabama. It's a Flint River church. And David Powell is preaching down there. And David Powell and I have got a fault. If we stay at the same house, we stay up too late. And so we stayed up too late. And I'm on the front bench. And I'm telling you, don't get on the front bench if you're sleepy. It's a miserable place to be. Now, one thing you can do... I learned this when I was with my wife in Lamaze classes. You can't pinch the inside of your thigh real dry, and that will wake you up. David, you probably were preaching pretty good, but I had to pinch myself pretty much. And all of a sudden, folks, He left his subject. I don't know why. He don't know why he did it. You may not even remember it. All of a sudden, David Powles turned to Acts 18. And he read the verse 9 and 10. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision. Be not afraid to speak. Hold not thy peace, for I'm with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. I have much people in this city. I began to weep. I knew God was saying, go to India. I went to India and came back. No man set on me to hurt me. God can speak to you that way. Let me tell you another time. One time, Bobby Poe, my fellow pastor at Grace Chapel for a long time, the man I was ordained with, asked me, Brother Zach, help me start a new church in East Memphis. But I was happy where I was. But I said, Brother Bobby, I'll pray about it. I don't really want to do it, but I will pray about it. And I prayed about it. Then I forgot about the prayer. And I went down to Pine Hill Church to hear Avery Land preach. And Avery Land was a shotgun preacher. Now, I'm not criticizing, he was a good shotgun preacher. Some guys scatter too much. Avery had a pretty good pattern. He usually wouldn't take a text, but I got there. Listen, I didn't know this was in the Bible. I didn't know it was in the Bible. Romans 15:20. He said, I've got a text. Yea, Paul says, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. I almost got up and left. That's all I need to hear. We didn't want to build another man's foundation. So I said, Brother Bobby, I'm ready to go. Brother, I'm the pastor of that church at Grace Chapel. Isn't that beautiful? Another time, one more I'll give you, and that's enough for personal experience, but I could give you all night, and you need to do the same thing. Start writing these things down. Remember, God taking care of you. God has blessed you in the past. He will bless you in the present. He will bless you in the future. Remember that. Remember that. See, that's what got these people, got that. That God had brought them across the Red Sea. Another time I'm in India, and the devil, all of a sudden I felt like the greatest sinner that had ever lived. I saw all my sins. It's almost like a weight weighted me down. I said, I can't preach. I can't preach anymore. I got to go back home. How can I preach? I was miserable. And suddenly, the Holy Ghost brought a verse to my mind. I didn't know where it was. I knew it was in Psalms. It's in Psalm 130, I think. And here's the verse is, if thou shouldst mark iniquities, who would stand? And instantly, the load's gone. I'm ready to go. Isn't that beautiful? Friends, that's what God does. Memorize the Word of God. Read the Word of God. The Holy Ghost will bring you things you need when you need it. So they remembered. They forgot. They should have remembered. Another point then, we must walk out on God's promises. God gives promises, but you've got to walk out on those promises. You can't just sit here and say, well, when God gets ready for me to do something, he'll pick me up by the hair of the head. Joshua 1:3 says this. See, God had promised them a promised land, right? But here's what it said in Joshua 1:3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. God promised them the land, they had to take the land. We got to be active and walking obediently to God Almighty, right? And you know, things may not happen as fast as you want them to, but don't give up. Because before this, many years before this, the Lord told them how he's going to do it. See, they went to Canaan's land, but here's what God said in Exodus chapter 23. I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I'll drive them out from before thee, and until thou be increased and inherit the land. So my friend, God may enter your promises little by little, but he's working. See, sometimes we can't say he's working. He's always working, isn't he? He said, I'll drive them out. I'll send the hornets. I'll get rid of all these lights. But by little and little, you go ahead and start walking. That's what we got to do, isn't it? When God gives us a command, just start obeying that command. Joshua and Caleb, my friend, had their hearts filled with faith. The other ten spies had their hearts filled with fear. How are you going to get your heart filled with faith? I got a verse for you. You ready for this verse? Get it down, Joshua 1:8. How can I have my heart filled with faith and not with fear? Because there are lots of fear. Joshua 1:8 will tell us. Joshua 1:8. This is when Joshua fixed to go into the land. He's the leader. God gives him this command. This book of the law, which is the Bible, this book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then I will make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Isn't that beautiful? So you stay in that Bible. You've got to do it. There's no other way to do it. Fill your heart with faith. Fill your heart with faith. As you begin to do that, friends, then things will look different to you. If I'm not in the Bible and got my faith glasses on, the world's going to be a different place. It's going to look different. You know, they had their faith glasses on the book of Acts, didn't they? You'd think they'd be cowed down in the book of Acts, wouldn't you? They're persecuted. They're driven out of Jerusalem. They're driven out. They're scattered. What do they do? Where they go? Start churches everywhere they go. They're triumphant. They're conquering. Not being conquered, they're conquering. They had their faith glasses on. We got to keep our faith glasses on. All right, another thing you got to do, I've already mentioned this about Daniel. We must, my dear friends, we must have a good conscience before God. You've got to have a pure life. Let me read you scriptures on that. I can't overemphasize this, having a good conscience. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of sound mind. That word fear there means cowardice. It's the only time that Greek word is mentioned in the New Testament. It means cowardice. I'm kind of a coward by nature. Timothy was too. I feel kinship with Kennedy. Timothy, you may feel like you're a coward. Don't worry about that. Paul's favorite preacher was a coward. But God can take cowards, fill them with faith, and use them. So if you feel like I'm just kind of a cowardly type person, I'm not very brave, you don't worry about it. It's not your strength, it's God's strength. God has not given us a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. All right, how about that conscious business? Look over in Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no man pursues. The righteous are bold as a lion. When I have a bad conscience, I'm a pushover for the devil. When I got a good conscience, I'm bold as a lion. You will be too. Isn't it important, even in private, to do what's right? When nobody's looking at you? When you sin, immediately confess it to God and get it out of the way. If you need some help from somebody, get the help. Keep that clean conscience before God. The Apostle Paul thought it was so important. And he's a mighty man of God, but he's a sinner like we are. But here's how important Paul thought it was to have a good conscience. Acts chapter 24, verse 16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. If Paul had to work that way, to always be right toward men, toward God, my friend, we must do the same thing. Another thing closely akin to that is you've got to walk in constant fellowship with God. And you can do that. And we must do that. We can walk with God. That was the secret of the boldness of Peter and John. Let's look at this over in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. This is when they're brought before the Sanhedrin court. Can you imagine how that must have felt? These old boys are uneducated men, not dumb men at all, very intelligent men. Uneducated, not qualified professionally. The great big old august Sanhedrin court calling them to account, trying to make them quit preaching. But they're bold as they can be. And the Sanhedrin court noticed that boldness, and they noticed the cause of that boldness. Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, took knowledge of them. They had been with Jesus. And my friend, when we've been walking with Jesus, people can tell it. You're not going to tell anybody. It just kind of shows. A good verse is 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, then you've got to do it on God's terms, not your terms. If we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That means that's vertical fellowship there. Not talking about horizontal fellowship. If we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's a beautiful verse. You can have fellowship with the Lord. He's your friend. He's your friend. In Daniel 11:32, the last part says, The people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Isn't that right? That know their God. Not know about him, but know him. The people that know their God should be strong and do exploits. Now, you know what? I'm going to give you some figures. This is pretty scary. Number 332 tells us this. There are 603,550 men of war that were there when they spied the land out. Only two of that number entered Canaan. That means 603,548 fell in the wilderness. My friend, the majority is not right most of the time. You may be a real small minority, but don't worry about that. You're in good company. Now, I want to talk a little bit about, that's holy following the Lord. Let's talk about Caleb for a minute. This is the old folks. But if you want to be a good old folk, you got to be a good young folk. You just don't pop up and say, well, I'm just going to be a good old folk. That just doesn't work that way. You got to be good young folks, good middle-aged folks, then you be good old folks, okay? So you got to practice being old. Y'all get ready for it. And so Caleb had to endure being in the wilderness with these disobedient people for 45 years. I'm sure he wanted to go into Canaan so very badly. He had wholly followed the Lord. Can you imagine? Sometimes he probably got impatient. But when they finally came up there, then this wonderful passage in Joshua chapter 14. They're coming now after the 40 years are over of wandering, and these people had fallen dead. Joshua and Caleb still alive. It must have been a thrilling time for Caleb. Then the children of Judah came in to Joshua and Gilgal. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be mine inheritance, and thy children's forever." See, he interested his children also. "Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I'm this day 85 years. I'm 85 years old. And I love this. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. I won't promise you physical strength like that, but I promise you spiritual strength like that. Some of the most strong spiritual people I've seen have been people who had feeble bodies, but they're prayer warriors and encouragers. The Apostle Paul, at the end of his life in prison, was still studying the Bible. He didn't quit studying. He's fixing to die a martyr's death. He said in 2 Timothy 4:13, "And the cloak that thou left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments, bring my Bible. I'm fixing to go see God. I want to read about him some more." My father in the ministry, Hassel Wallace, lost his voice. He used to be a powerful man with a powerful voice. He lost his voice, but he didn't quit studying God's word. I go to his house. He wasn't doing it for show. Some preachers may do it for show, not Bro Wallace. I go to his house. He had his books out, his concordances. He studied as hard as he ever did. When Isaac and Justin got ordained, he could not preach their charge, but I took them down to his house, and he whispered them a charge. That's why I want you to be. My friend, the old folks here, listen, they got an important job. So he said, "I'm as strong, then I love this, that our song." So Caleb said this. Can't you just hear him say it? Old Caleb, don't know what he looked like. He said, "Now give me this mountain. Give me this mountain." He didn't say, "Give me an easy deal over here. I'm an old man. I got to have it easy. Give me this mountain." And then what he really wanted, "Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day, how the Anakims, thus the giants, were there, and that these cities were great and fenced up. If so be the Lord will be with me, I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." So my friend, he wanted the hardest job. And I'm going to ask you a question now. Let me ask you a question. What kind of mountains in your life? Have you got a pornography mountain? Have you got a drug mountain? Have you got a jealousy mountain? What have you got? Those mountains can go. Aggressively attack those mountains with God's grace. Give me this mountain. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 10, verse 4. "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." There's not a stronghold in your life can't come down, my dear friend, if you use the weapon that God has given us. What kind of mountain do you have? Let's have more Caleb to say, "Give me this mountain. I don't want to just be a half-hearted Christian. I don't let this sin dominate my life and I just kind of live a half-hearted life. I want to be the best church member that I can be, the best Christian I can possibly be. I can be a successful Christian by God's grace. Give me this mountain." Now, let me say something to the old folks. And I'm one of them old folks now. I hate to admit that. I still have already this year now done 6,000 chin-ups. Ha, ha, ha. So some of y'all top that. King David cared about the younger generation. Vernon Stanley cared about the younger generation. Ed McGee cared about the younger generation. I know you do, Buchanan. I know you do. These people care about you kids. And I care about you kids. I'm at the age where I want to leave something good for you. And that's the word of God. Listen, David said this. He could not build the temple. So he said in 1 Chronicles 29, furthermore, David the king said to all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender. The work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, the silver for things of silver, the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God. Over and above all, I prepare for the holy house. I want to leave something for Solomon to build the house of God out of. And every old person here that thinks you're old, you all have the same attitude. Let me give you some verses in closing. Here's what we older people need to do, and I'm going to do it. I love the Church of Jesus Christ. I know she has bad days and good days, sad days and happy days, lean days and prosperous days. I know all that. I've been in the church since I was 13 years old. I'm 74, figured out. I'm not too good on math. Here's what I want to do. Here's what David Powell wants to do. I know you do, David. Psalm 48, verse 12 and 13. Walk about Zion. Go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. And kid, I'm going to tell you, from my viewpoint, it's been worth it. I joined when I was 13 years old. Wish I'd been a better church member. It's worth it to serve God Almighty, His church. I've been in little bitty churches. I've been in church a little bit bigger. I've been in some cold days, some warm days. It's worth it. It's worth it. Older folks, listen to this. This is encouraging. This is Psalm 92, verses 12 through 14. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. I checked out, that's the date palm tree. I did some research on the date palm tree. You can't believe how big those clusters are. We've seen palms in India, the coconut palms mainly. But these date palms are unreal. I make big old 40-pound clusters. And the trees live a long time. And the book I read said that the fruit gets sweeter and sweeter as the tree grows older. You kids, pay attention to your old people. They're a source. You ought to talk to them. Ask them about some of the experiences they've had. Ask them about how God blessed them. They're a good resource. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, there's your secret, being God's church. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Isn't that great? Psalm 71, 18. I used to call this old folks' psalm, and I realized one day, I don't have much hair left. I got more than I just got, thank God. But it's kind of gray or white. I don't know what it is. It kind of surprised me. I look in the mirror. I can't believe an old man in the mirror. Look at what it said. Look, here's what I got to do. I'm doing it right now. Now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I've showed thy strength unto this generation, thy power to everyone that's to come. I'm telling you, God is powerful and God is strong. You know, I never have had a real big income. I've raised 11 kids. Isn't that amazing? They're all married now. Bernard, how did I do it? I don't know how. God just did it. He'll do you the same way. You know, one time I went to a funeral, and I saw one of my distant cousins. I hadn't seen in a long time, and he didn't know anything about me. He began to ask me about some questions, so I told him how many kids I had. Boy, he just got shocked. And he started whispering to people. And I was kind of a freak, I guess. Everybody started looking at me in the funeral home. So he asked me, how do you feed them? And I said as loud as I could, one meal at a time, just like you feed your kids. My friend, God Almighty, has taken care of me, and He'll take care of you too. It hadn't all been easy. We lost one baby in infancy. Draw us closer together instead of further apart. I don't care what comes your way. Our God will take care of you. You put Him first. And finally, I'm going to close with this command that God gave Joshua. I already read verse 8 of chapter 1. Let me read you verse 9. It's encouraging. This is God's charge to you and me tonight. Then, dear Brother Sonny, we'll sing this song. Let's sing it right. Here's what God said to Joshua as he goes in to conquer Canaan. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. The Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And I say amen.